So glad you're here today. We are in our next installment of All Things New. That this is what God does. He makes all things new, and I'm excited to walk you through the Word. This is a time for me to share with you that, listen, I don't care where you are in your life. I don't care what you've been through. Jesus can make all things new for you. And I'm hopefully by the time that I'm finished, you will believe that because I have to. I know for myself because He's made all things new for me. I don't know about you, but you know, it's not easy to. How many can find it easy to stand in front of people and talk? Who can do that? Who raise your hand nice and high for me? Okay, all right. Would you come and speak for me, please? Would you? No. Put his hand down fast. Woo! All my life, I was intimidated because I always saw other people as better than me. I saw people as more important than me. They, you know, there was a couple that looked better than me. And so there was people out there that I was always intimidated by and felt like I had nothing to offer. And in fact, I had people tell me I had nothing to offer. All my life, I grew up very, very rough life, picked on, bullied. I had people in my neighborhood talk about me. It was bad for me. So I was very insecure with my ability to stand before people. I know it's kind of odd now that I'm pastoring and teaching every weekend, but there was a time in my life where I could not speak. And I remember a couple years ago, Jesus came into my life at the age of 19, and He made all things new. Amen. The first thing He began to do is tell me what I can do. Instead of looking at what I couldn't do, He began to point out what I could do. And just about 4 years ago, as we're going into our anniversary, I always figured that one day I'd be a part of a church, but pastoring, I couldn't see it. And the reason I couldn't see it was because I could not talk in public. I was terrified. I was so terrified to talk in public that I literally would have to drink like a fire hose of water just to speak. And so it was bad for me. And I was like, God, you done picked the wrong dude. If you told me to go preach and start a church, you made a mistake. I'm sorry. I can't do it. And I'll never forget the spiritual dialogue I had with God. This was real to me. And here's how He did it. He said to me, He said, Steve, do you love me? I said, of course I love you. You know I love you. You're the bomb. Are you kidding me? Of course I love you. He said, Steve, would you tell people about me? I'm like, tempt? God, hey, listen, I'm just worried about every weekend. You know, I'm just worried about it. But God, tell people about you? I'll tell people every day about you. You want me to go down the street? I'll go now. You want me to go in the parking lot? I can talk there. I have no problem doing that. Preaching every Sunday? But going down the street, telling people, telling my coach, I'll do it. I'll do it any day of the week. I'll do it. And He said to me these simple words. He said, no. I just need you to speak once a week about me. And I was like, oh, He got it. And I realized what He was saying was, He's not asking me to preach. He just wants me to be myself and talk about Him. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? What does God want out of you? He wants you just to be yourself and talk about Him. Ladies and gentlemen, He made all things new because now I can stand before you. I'm not a preacher, as people say, oh, he's a preacher. I'm not a preacher. I'm a person who loves God. And He made all things new for me, and I'm willing to talk about Him. That's it. So if you're looking to jump up and run around, this ain't the church. But if you want to hear about Him for real, man, I'm so excited I get a chance to tell you about Him. Today the message is all about He makes all things new. In the Word today, we're going to talk about some things and cover some things we talked about last week. Last week we talked about the earth and how God came into the world, and He's making, even though the world was corrupted because of man's sin and the world was cursed because of what Adam did, God said that I'm going to remake the earth, take away all of the things that stained it, all the pestilence, disease, and I'm going to make all things new. And He said all that to us that we might know that if He's going to do it for the earth, He can do it for us. And so this, I need you to understand why He's able to do this incredible act is because Jesus was raised from the dead. And when Jesus rose from the grave, out of death. He was able to live and rise into a newness of life. He came into a new life. And because he came into a new life, he can make all things new for you and me. Ladies and gentlemen, I understand the fact that Jesus being raised from the dead makes all things new. And our new life doesn't begin when he comes back on a cloud. It begins now. Look at your neighbor and say, now. Say, R-A-T, now. Right now. You got to be down here from the south. Right now. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have to wait to the end to get all things new. We don't have to wait to that trumpet will blow, where the angel will blow it and mark the end of time. Yes, that will happen. And we don't have to wait till Jesus appears on a cloud with all the saints that died before us and then come before we get newness alive. And yes, that will happen. Now, we don't even have to wait till every person that was born on this planet that claim God as their Savior comes on that cloud in the sky, filling the cloud up as it comes to the earth. We don't have to wait to that day, even though that day will happen. We don't even have to wait, ladies and gentlemen, till the dead in Christ get their bodies reunited with their dead bodies, coming out of the water, coming out of the grave, be reunited and put up on the cloud, going back to heaven. That's going to happen to every believer in Christ. But we don't have to wait till then. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a secret that the Bible told us that is going to reveal to us a wonderful secret. I want you to turn in your Bible to 1 Colossians 15 and 51. And I'm going to tell you about you and I. Though the newness of life is going to come when he comes back on the cloud. Here's what the Bible says. You got to learn to roll with it. Roll with it. Watch this. It says, but let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. Man, Paul was writing and said, I want to tell you something that's so awesome. It's a secret to everybody, but I want to tell you what's about to happen. He says, we will not all die, but we will all be, wow. Verse 52 says, it will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when that last trumpet is blown by Michael the archangel. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed. Wow. The dead in Christ are going to be raised again. And we'll see Auntie and Auntie Maymay and Auntie and Uncle Bubba, depending on what side of the family you're on. And we're going to see them again. And then it tells us what's going to happen to us. Watch this. Verse 53. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. And our mortal bodies will be transformed into immortal. He will make all things new. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we which are alive shall be changed into this new and glorious bodies and then caught up into that same cloud that the redeemed are already waiting on us and will be taken up into heaven forever. But ladies and gentlemen, newness of life doesn't happen at the end of time. We can have newness of life right now. Why? Because of Jesus. He resurrected from the dead, and the power that rose him from the grave is in us now. We can have life change now. R-A-T. Turning your Bibles to Romans 8 and 11. Let me prove it to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 tells the truth of the matter. And it says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, watch this, lives in you. If you ever confessed Jesus as your Lord, the same power that raised him from the dead lives in you. I don't care how dead your situation looks. I don't care if it stinks. Come on, somebody. I don't care if you've been through everything and everybody looked at you and mourned, said a prayer over you and walked away. The power of resurrection is in all of us, and it can create newness of life, not at the end of time, but right now on time. Somebody say amen. Amen. Watch what he says. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same spirit living in you. Newness of life begins today. New life begins now. Peter was writing in his book, an epistle, and he was thinking about the same power that is in resurrection power that now is abides within each of us. That when you confess Christ, you have it. And here's what he began to think. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I want to go from the New Living Translation. And Peter begins to dialogue about this newness of life. And I want you to see it. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He's saying that I want you to acknowledge that it is God who did this. It is by his what? Say it like it means something. Say it like you get paid for it. That's a shame. It is by his great mercy that we have been what? Born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It is by God's great mercy that Jesus came to give us new life. Write that down. Jesus came to give us new life. Indeed, the very purpose of Jesus hitting the planet at all, the reason why his name is even known, the reason why you see people on television talking about him, the reason why you see people like me who was afraid to speak, getting up and talking about him, is because we learned something about him. That the purpose of Jesus from the very beginning was to give everyone who comes to him new life. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to turn in your Bibles to John 10 and 10. John 10 and 10. And I want you to read his purpose. Would you read this, please, together? Go.
The
He gives you a dichotomy between a thief and what he brings. A thief will come to kill. He was talking about Satan, steal and destroy. But Jesus says, I'm his antithesis. My purpose is to give people a rich and satisfied. Have you ever felt like life wasn't satisfying? Anybody, can I see a show of hands and just be honest? Like, ever felt like, man, there's got to be more to life than this? Well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you the answer. Jesus is your answer. Because his whole purpose for existing was to give you a satisfying life. It all starts not with a natural change of environment. It doesn't mean, well, my old wife wasn't good enough, I got to get me a new one. It doesn't mean that, well, my old car ain't working, so I got to get me a new one. It doesn't mean that I need, my old job ain't paying enough, I got to get a new one. No, to have a satisfying life is simple. And Jesus gives the prescription for that in John 3 and 7. It's not external, it's an internal change. And he says this, "So don't be surprised when I say you must be born." To have newness of life is not external. To have a satisfying life isn't in the clothes you wear, though they can be nice. It's not in the hair you have, though some of us don't have any, and some of us have others. You must be born again. Ladies and gentlemen, you had a physical birth, but this is not talking about that. This is talking about a spiritual birth. Jesus came to give you new life, and there's four things that we need to know about this new life. I want you to write these things down. There are four things that you need to know about this new life. Four things. Number one, the source of new life is God's love. the source of new life is God's love. The reason you even have it here, the reason it's available to you is because guess what, people? God loves you. You may have never known this. I know when I came to Christ, I didn't know he was even real. I thought he was just some, I didn't even think he was existed. I thought when you died, you just went to sleep and it was over. I didn't know the God who made the universe really cared. And the reason why he gives us new life is because he loves us. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. And let's read what God says. Would you read it for me, please? Read. But God is so rich in mercy. Say it again. You know, these words are really descriptive of how God feels. He didn't just say God loves you. He says this: God is so rich in mercy. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, mercy is amazing. Mercy isn't reserved for those who are righteous. It's reserved for those who mess up. Point to somebody you know that messed up. You know, I remember a story of a lady that went into a hair, went to a photographer who wanted to take pictures of herself so she could have a portfolio. And the man took all the pictures and sat down with the lady with the pictures. And she looked at him and she began to frown up and she said, "You know what? I don't know about these pictures. They don't do me justice." And the man looked at her and said, "Ma'am, you don't need justice, you need mercy." God offers us mercy instead of justice. That's what he gives to us. Mercy is given to those who made mistakes, to those who've done wrong. Here's the point, ladies and gentlemen. We think of all the things we can do to make our lives right. But God looks at all the things we've done wrong and can't do right and makes it right anyway. We think, if I could just do this and be that and do this and have that, I'll be right. And God says, you can never be right enough. You know, it's like this is mankind here. And God is on the other side of the stage, way over here. And we can't get from here to there or there to here. But you know, some of us think, well, you know what? I'm better than other people. You know what I'm saying? I can do this. So there's a big chasm in between. So because I'm an athlete, I'm going to jump. The person next to me is not an athlete. And they're going to jump because we all want to get to God. And we make a jump. And I go about 7 feet. They make a jump, they go about 2 feet. Am I going to turn around and look at them like, well, I'm floating to the other side. Aha, I jumped farther than you. No, we're both going to hit the rocks. There's no way any of us are better. We can't be better. Only God can give us new life. It's not about us. It's about him. And this is what I love what it says. It says, God was rich in mercy. We tend to say a lot of times, God, I messed up again. God, I made a mistake. But here's the beauty of what God's mercy is. It's rich, I mean, it's wealthy. It's abounding in material resource. It's abundantly supplied to you. Why? Because God loves you. I want you to look at verse 5, please. Ephesians 2 and 5. Look what he did. Would you read it for me? Go. He started a trend. Watch this. He says, Jesus, I will raise from the dead and give him new life. And since I did it for him, I'm going to do it for anyone who wants it. Wow. He started his own trend. He gave us life. And when he raised Christ from the dead, it is only by God's what? Grace. That you have been saved. Unmerited favor. Read verse 6, please. Go. Read.
For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us together in the heavenly places in Christ
did all this because he loves you. He raised you with Christ. When he saw Christ, he sees you. Christ paid the price for everyone in this room so that you don't have to pay your own price. You sit in heavenly places next to God. It was because of his love. If you look at all the religions of the world, however, they are so different. In every other religion of the world, you must do something to earn God's love. Amen. You gotta pray a certain amount of times. You gotta pray a certain amount of prayers. You gotta kill yourself for God. You gotta do this, do that. There are so many other religions that tell you if you want to be right with God, you must do it in order to make God love you. You must perform. But it's the gospel that is opposite. The gospel says there are things you could never do, but God in his great love offers them to you. There are things you could never do. You can never be perfect. You can never be right. But that's why God loves you. He loves you, so he makes you new. Let me tell you what it's not. Being made new is not, write this down, human righteousness. It's not our own righteousness. You know, there are so many people that say, you know what, if I believe to be right with God means that I just have to be a good person. Anybody ever heard that? I try to be a good person. I try to do right by people. That'll make me right with God. And they say, you know, if I live a good life, then God will love me. But it's not about our righteousness. It's about his. I want to tell you about a man named Nicodemus who was shocked at this truth, that it ain't about you. That it wasn't anything you could do to earn this. His name was Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. Matter of fact, the Bible calls him the leader of the Pharisees. And they were the ones who interpreted the law. They were the best of the best. They were the dudes who knew it inside and out, can quote it backwards and forward. They were considered the prime people of the community. Go to John 3:1. Let me show you what happened when he encountered Christ, that many of us would experience as well. John 3:1 says, there was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was... So we learn a couple things about him. He was a religious leader, and he was a Pharisee. In other words, he led many others. He had a good life, good lifestyle. He lived according to the law. He was righteous, even more than most people. He lived by a strict moral code, and he followed the law to the letter. But look at verse 2. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus, because it was unpopular to speak to Jesus, just like it is today. It's unpopular to talk about him in the light, at school, on your job. It's unpopular. No matter how good you are, still people are afraid to see him and speak about him. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi. Rabbi was a term to refer to a man who was a teacher. He said, Rabbi, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. He begins to brag on Jesus. He listen to what he's doing. He said, you are a rabbi. I'm a rabbi. And we got a lot in common. But you're doing miracles, and I'm not doing miracles. So give me your secret. I want to know what your secret to success is. What's the key to it? Surely it was something you were doing. Surely it was a plan or a five-step method. Give me the tip. I want to know so I can incorporate that into my life and do what you do. I want you to listen to what Jesus' words were. John 3:3. It says very simply, Jesus replied, you want to know the truth? You can't handle the truth. Oh, that's not there. I'm sorry. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. You want all these miracles, signs, and wonders? The first step to have them, you got to be born again. Now, Nicodemus is a cool dude. He acted like I would have acted back in them days. Look at verse 4. He said, "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. It's, the word there was emphasized. He exclaimed, "What are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense, dude. Born again, listen." He says, how can an old man, talking about himself, "how can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Because he's using logic. But Jesus wasn't dealing in logic. Jesus was dealing in love. This ain't a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. Newness of life doesn't come through the works of your hands, but the work of God. Listen to what he said. Look at this. Nicodemus was stunned. It wasn't based on what he did, but what God does for me. And listen to what Jesus said in verse 7 again. He says, "So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again." Ladies and gentlemen, if you're here today and you're looking for newness of life, don't be surprised when I say to you, you must be born again. Nobody is good enough. No one is better than another, no matter what they say to you. And let me stop for a second. Don't you ever let somebody tell you what you are or what you are not. Don't you ever let somebody tell you that you can't achieve, that you can't be, and that you're not good enough. Don't let anybody speak into your life and tell you you'll never be anything or you'll never go anywhere. Don't let anybody tell you because of your past, you'll never have a good future. Jesus came that you might have a life that is full and fulfilling. Don't ever believe what someone will say about you in the negative, because only God knows that. No matter how some people are, they can look like they're the best people in the world, and they could be the most wretched people in the world. Everybody is in the same place when it comes to God. You know, me and my wife, for our first anniversary, we went to Colorado, and most people don't realize in Colorado there are about 14 mountains, and they're 14,000 miles high in the state of Colorado. And there are also caverns and tunnels that go hundreds of feet below the state of California. But ladies and gentlemen, whether you're riding high on the mountains with rich and money and you got all everything you're asking for, or maybe you're down in the tunnels and you got nothing you really wanted, everybody is in the same state. What am I saying to you? God is the only one that can make the difference. You can be good, you can be bad, but everyone starts out in the same state of lostness until God gives you new life. Let me say this, that when you come to God, it's not by human choice. Write that down. It's not by just human choice. It's not like you can just say, "You know what? I'm righteous." John 1 and 12 says this in the New Living Translation. "But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from this human passion." It doesn't matter, "Oh, I want to be right and I can do it myself." Your human passion can't make it happen. It's not or a plan. You know what? I'm going to plan my future. And there's some of us who think we can plan everything out. You can't do this one. But a birth that comes from God. You can't earn it, but you can accept it. Ladies and gentlemen, the second power for new life is this. Write this down. Resurrection. Resurrection. The reason we have new life is because of resurrection. Romans 6 and 4. I want you to read this, and then we're going to get ready to close. Romans 6 and 4 says this. "For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Everybody say that with me. New lives. Because Jesus raised from the grave, we have the power to live new lives. We couldn't do it on our own. I remember a story of a kid telling about how he used to play football in his neighborhood, and they used to toss the ball back and forward, and they were losing pretty bad. And then one of the fathers in the neighborhood known to play with the kids came out, and he says, "Can I play with you guys?" And they said, "Yeah, come on and play." And the first question he asked was, "Who's losing?" Now, I don't know about you. Whenever I watch football, I may not be a big football fan like some of you are, but when I ever watch a team, you know, typically I choose my team by whoever's the underdog. I ask the question, "Who's losing?" "Yeah, that's my team." And in the game, they were like, the father asked, "Who's losing?" And they said, "We are." And so he jumped on that team, and the other team was like, "Oh, we know every time he comes, every time he joins the game, they end up winning." Let me say to you, ladies and gentlemen, when the father entered the game, things were going to change. Here's the deal. The characteristics of new life in Christ, a third one is this. Hope. Write that down. Hope. Hope. God gives us hope. I love this. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 tells the story of the benefits of a resurrection and life. Verse 3 says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Christ from the dead. Live with great expectation because we have this power living within us." I can look forward to a future that is not failing, but a future that is bright and strong, and one that God is on my side. I have great expectations. Look at verse 4, and it says this, "And we have this priceless inheritance," meaning you've got gold you don't even know about, "an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure, undefiled, and beyond the reach of change and decay. Food, cars, and clothes, they fade, but what God gives you can never decay." Which brings me to the last objective that we all get, the last of the objectives. Next one is, God gives you strength. Write that down. Strength. I love this. He gives you strength. When you receive Jesus in your life, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says this, "And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive the salvation." Listen to me. Listen to me. When you become born again, God will protect you until you get there. Did you just hear what I said? He will protect you. Some of us in this room should be dead. Oh, I'm not playing. I mean, literally, D-E-A-D. Talking 6 feet under or greater. I remember one time we went to visit a family member. Me and my wife went to get in the car, and this kid came around the corner going about 120 miles an hour, and his car spinned out, and it just, zoop, just missed me and her. I should have been dead. She was driving in the car, and another young man was running from the police, and whoo, right in front of her, missed her, and crashed into a house. She should have been dead. What's your story? Is it a child? Is it you? God said this, when we get born again, watch this, he's protecting you by his power until you receive the salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. Knowing what lies in my future gives me the strength every day. Look at verse 6. "So be truly glad." Listen to what the word says to you. "There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you may endure many trials for a little while." Did you hear what? Now, listen. Most people zone in on many trials. You should be zoning in on a little while. Come on, somebody. You don't focus on many trials. You focus on just a little while. Come on, somebody. I don't care. David said, yay. Yay. I don't know why he said yay. Yay. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Though, watch this, listen to what it says. Though we are experiencing many trials. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of, meaning if death is right around the corner, I can see its shadow. Thou art with me. Grace and mercy shall always follow me all the days. He says, even though you may endure trials for a, it's going to be over, folks. It's almost over. Look at your neighbor and say, it's almost over. It's almost over. Hold on. But I need you to understand this next truth before we get out of here. Look at verse 7. I need you to see this. Can we read this, please? Read. Stop. Say that again. Say it again. Now, let me show you something, guys. When you go through the same thing and your faith fails, you will go through the same thing again. He will keep taking you through the same thing until your faith is genuine. Now, you can kick and buck like you a cowboy. Yeah! But you will go around that rodeo again. Tell your neighbor, get off that horse. Come on, say it like a man. Yeah! Get off that horse, boy. Yeah! Some of you have been asking, God, why does this keep happening to me? Because you haven't believed through it. Now, when you get ready to believe through it, it'll be over in a little while. Is that truth? Can you take that? Listen, that's life-changing. If you're the one person, when money gets tight, you ain't right no more, you're going to keep going around that rodeo until money don't matter. If you're the kind of person that says, you know, if I'm not happy, I'm out. You don't keep going around that rodeo until you stop. If you're the kind of person that say, you know what? If they don't respect me, you're going to be disrespected till it don't matter no more. No, I don't care what you call me. It's okay. I'll do whatever you want. And then God will stop it. This is truth. Watch this. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. And this is the very, very last one. The last thing God wants to give you is joy. Write that down, joy. 1 Peter 1 and 8 says this, you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. Ladies and gentlemen, I need you to understand as I close, happiness is temporary. Happiness is based on our circumstances. And when our circumstances change, our happiness does too. But the inexpressible joy that Jesus gives is based on our faith that God has given us new life. And anything I'm going through is just for a little while. Would you please stand to your feet?